So today I'm going to be ministering out of the book of Ruth. And I preached in one of our conferences a couple years ago about Naomi. Well, I'm going to preach about Naomi today, but I'm going to preach about her today from a totally different perspective, because I believe that it speaks to us today in a way. When you think about worship and praise and how it's gone today, may you just stay open to the presence of God. May you be open to the Word of God and what God is speaking to you personally. Let's see what God has to say. We know that God had an appointed time for the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just happen to show up. We see through the Word of God everything that pointed to Jesus coming on the scene. It was a set time. And it's interesting because God says, I am doing things that I declared in the old. In other words, the Old Testament declared. A lot of it happened in the New Testament. The New Testament declared. Things are happening in our generation, in our time. So in the genealogy of Jesus, time was very critical. Everyone in Jesus' genealogy was ordained to be born at a particular time. There was a time and date that God set for them to be born. So there was a book. There's a book called Ruth, and we all know that it's a little bitty chapter. Book. It has four chapters in it. It don't take you long to read. Don't read it here while we're in church, okay? If you're wanting to know about something later, get your Bible out and go through, because every time we read the Word of God and we really read it, something will pop out. I didn't see that before. And that's the most fascinating thing about the Word of God. And there's so much to God, you can't get it all in one message, in one reading of your Bible. We cannot, because He's bigger, greater than anything that our minds can imagine. So just keep on reading the Word of God and see what God shows you, and He will. But Ruth is nestled between the book of Judges and 1 Samuel, and we're going to minister for a little bit on a standout woman named Naomi. Interesting. Ruth is mentioned in her book, Ruth, 12 times. Naomi is mentioned 20 times in the book. Interesting, isn't it? You know, I never thought about that before. But go ahead, count them yourself, and you'll find out it should be true. You might have, in your particular translation, might be a little bit different, but probably not. But Naomi's situation, it's interesting, was the whole reason why the book of Ruth was written. Isn't that interesting when you think about that? It starts out with Naomi in the beginning. And when you read to the last chapter, it ends with Naomi. Had you ever thought about that before? I hadn't. I preached on Naomi and her being bitter, Myra, and we don't want to be bitter. We don't want to be like that. But God is a redemptive God, and so it's just an amazing thing. So prophetically, this book shows us how God is speaking to us today. So I ask you to open up, get involved. The pastor says he likes the amens. I won't mind them today. I pay no attention to you, honestly, when I'm preaching. I just preach. Whether you nod your head, whether you frown at me, whether you don't like it, or you do like it, I'm not moved one way or the other, because I have one thing to do, and that's to get up here and to preach the Word of God to the best of my ability. Now, I will say something here. My husband is doing a fantastic job of preaching. I've never seen him enjoy it anymore. Go ahead, give him a hand. Come on. He is the father of the house. He's anointed of God. And I've said this before, I'm so jealous. He gets to spend so much time in the Word and put that time in, but I'm so proud of him. And I'm jealous in a good way. We should all be jealous to get in the Word more and to get pray more, do more. But anyway, I thank God for my pastor. And anyway, the enemy had a knowing that the atmosphere of the church has shifted. That's why it's prophetic. Can you say that the atmosphere of the church has shifted? Can you feel it? Do you understand it? Do you know that God is speaking things? It's a new season. Now, I want you to take your eyes off of 2026, because it's not about a year. It's about a season. There are different seasons. Some of them last 7 years. Some of them last 10. Some of them last 3 days. Who knows? But this one is what God's saying. Not because it's 2026, it's because it's a now. However long that now is, I don't know. But I do know that the prophetic is going to flow freely. The harvest is ripe. Prodigals return home. Vision is renewed. Dreams are fulfilled. Strength increases. Growth multiplies. Joy replaces tears. And a song of restoration. Those are the things that God spoke. He didn't change his mind. They're still spoken. But so the enemy knows that there's a spiritual atmosphere in the church has shifted. And if you will dig a little bit deeper and not listen to all the lies of some of the news channels, but if you'll dig a little deeper, you'll see that there's a revival going on in our land. God is doing something. So the narrative of this little book starts out with, and there was a famine in Bethlehem. No bread in the land. In other words, it got really bad there. See, Bethlehem means a house of bread. Spiritual realm. Has there been a famine of bread in the house of the Lord? Has there been a famine in your personal life of the bread that you need spiritually to sustain you and to help come into fruition the things that God wants for your life? Sometimes we don't even know it, but all of a sudden we are in the middle of a famine. So there was a famine in Bethlehem. There's a famine in the house of bread. The story's about a family who was very wealthy. They were wealthy and were doing very well in Bethlehem. They had lots of money and they had land. Elimelech and Naomi took their two small children, Mahlon and Chilion, and they decided to move to Moab because there wasn't bread for them. In other words, they wanted their family to thrive. Sometimes people can't get away like they were able to. They stayed where there was no bread. But what these two people did not know, Naomi and her husband, they didn't know that God had started a divine plan. I want to say to you that there are God connections that you have made along the way of life that God intends for those connections to do something in your life, to bring changes to your life. And with that thought in mind, let's just keep on with this. But they didn't know. They got settled in to the new life in Moab. And then all of a sudden, disaster hits. Elimelech dies. Now, that's a blow. You know, you came from where your husband was prosperous and you got two little boys. You're excited about the fact that you can get away from that and still get provision because you can find bread even if it's in the land of Moab. Because you are influential, you have money, you can do whatever it is that you want to get that provision for your family. But all of a sudden, here is Naomi standing by the graveside of her husband. But her destiny was not for her to attend and take care of that grave and keep going back and back. But Naomi did not know that she was made for more. She didn't know that. She was a grieving widow. Solid Rock, we are not a funeral home here. We didn't come in on Sunday morning to attend to the graves. We came on a Sunday morning because this is a house of life. This is a house of bread. We come here on Sundays because we want to be in the presence of God. There's life here. We should be so alive that we have such anointed door greeters. First impressions, they are out there and they are welcoming you and they are sensitive to the Spirit of God. And there are everyone that greets you, we should be so sensitive to the Spirit of God that God would speak to us and say, you need to just say something to them. You look really good. We're so glad you're here today. Something. But we're not a funeral home. The tombstone the devil put in your life is premature. Think about it. It's over. Naomi, it's over. No, Naomi had some more growing to do. So Naomi went ahead and she stayed in Moab. And her sons, as we know, they grew up and they got married. And after 10 years, Naomi finds herself again at the graveside. Her two boys were gone. And she was weeping and crying and grieving as only a mama can do. And only one that's lost a husband. And I'm sure that while she was there, it's just like, God, I don't know why this is happening. I don't understand this at all. And she had two daughter-in-laws that were standing there with her. And she began, they weep, they cry, they hang on to each other. But in a little while, Naomi tells the girls, I'm going to go back home. You need to go back to your families. You go back because there's nothing here. I'm old. I don't have the hope of a husband. I can't have any more children. And Naomi says, I'm grieved for what the Lord has done to me. Go back and find a young husband. Naomi at that time still didn't know that there's nothing that is taken from you that God won't add something back to you. Obviously, Naomi had to be a really extraordinary woman because both of the daughter-in-laws, they wanted to stay with her. They really did. They didn't want her to go back because she had imparted so much into their lives and they wanted to be with her. So Naomi was a good woman. She was a strong woman. Even though there had been so much that had hit her, she still was a good woman. And in spite of their husbands being dead, Naomi didn't know the power of her influence. Because they still wanted to be with her. What Naomi didn't know was just because life, as she knew it was over, that God had a divine timetable that she was on. See, we got to know that it doesn't matter what goes on, God still is in the next. He still has a plan. He has a timeline. The losses that you've had, the place where you are right now, and the opportunities that you thought are gone. You think, God, I don't know what to do. The thing that I was believing God for, that I was investing in, it's not here any longer. What am I going to do? I don't know how I'm going to make it. But we read about, through the Word of God, there's much tribulation that those that went on before us, they went through it, just like Pastor Rhodes was reading a while ago. And you will find out that anybody, whether it's in this day and time or it was in the Word of God in generations before us, they carried scars in their life, many scars. Any that push forward into the kingdom of God, you're going to have scars. They were, but they can't keep attending to the scars and the graves of their life. They can't keep doing that anymore. They're familiar with grief and betrayal and pain. Everybody here, you could say, yes, I know what that is. I've went through it before. I've been heartbroken before. I've had loss. And it seems that it's irrevocable. There's nothing. I can't regain what I have lost. But, you know, I think that God wants so much for us to understand that he will take those things that have come against us and he'll use them to mold us and to make us into what he wants us to be. When we look into the eye of our Almighty God, well, someday I don't believe that we'll remember the price that we had to pay. I don't believe at all we will, because the valleys, the sorrow, the betrayal, all will fade because we're in the light of his glorious grace. And so all these things that we worry so much about here, or we let the enemy keep us pushed down, when God says, I made you for more than the trouble and trials and situations that you've been going through, there's much more. It's not just in the sweet by and by that we're going to reap, because God will not leave us empty-handed. He did not leave Naomi empty-handed. She thought she was. She felt like she was. We've all been to that place where we thought that we were, but God always has a plan. He says, it's not over, because I'm going to bring you, Naomi, to a place. I'm going to bring you to that place that you don't know, because you, even though you have been in Bethlehem before, you don't know what I'm going to do. And so she's going back because she thinks she has no other recourse. I'll just go back. I'm just going to go back to where I started. But God's not going to leave us empty-handed. He's not going to leave us putting flowers on the graves of our past. There are graves of our past that we have got to today. We have got to stop, because the enemy is going to keep us from the prophetic. It's going to keep us from what God has intended to us. Both daughters wept, but one clung and could not let go of Naomi. Ruth just couldn't. Orpah, with tears, she hugged Naomi and she went toward her home. Ruth's favorite famous words, is we remember them. We remember them so well. Ruth 1:16-17 says, "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And wherever you die, I will die. And there shall I be buried. And may the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." What a commitment that she made to Naomi. See, Naomi didn't know her own greatness. She did not. Some of you are sitting here today, you don't know your own greatness. You don't know the effect that you have on other people's lives. You don't know that God put something so special in you personally that he wants to use. So after living in a foreign country for about 10 years, Naomi gets a word that there's bread. There's bread in Bethlehem. So she's going to go back. At least she'll have bread. You know, I've lost everything, it seems. Oh, I got some land back there. So I'll go back. I'm going to go back. But do you know that you can't keep bread from the people that are in the will of God? The devil may try to starve you out. And when I'm not just talking about your lack of food, but he's trying to starve you out, famine your soul, so that you can't get the bread of life from the word of God when it's preached, because there's death. And God says there's bread in the house. But the enemy will starve you out if he can. Truth is, in this life and the will of God, there are seasons of famine. We know that. But I want to encourage you today and tell you that we are in a new season. If we don't, when trouble comes, we'll say, "Well, that word didn't mean it. It didn't mean it for me. Look at this." No, you hook up with what the word of God says. See, Amalek would never have left Bethlehem had it not been for the famine. Some of you are here at this church today, watching online today, because bread dried up where you used to be. Could be that the pleasures of life run dry on you. Sometimes we come to the house of God because everything else we tried, it didn't work in our life. That's okay. That's the bread of life. That's what you're supposed to do. Come to the house of bread. But also, there's times where we get religious. We get stuck in our mind, different things, and we find ourselves all of a sudden we're cold. We're not enjoying church. We're not enjoying our family. We're not enjoying anything, to be truthful. But it could be, or could it be, because bread has dried up to get in your soul. But people have come in here for different reasons why they come. You're looking for something to be fed on. Some of you recently had walked into this house and you felt the presence of God. And some of you said, "This is my house. This is where I'm supposed to be. This is my house. I'm excited. There's bread in the house. I come, I feel the presence of God. I know God is here. And not only that, I fit here. There's just something about it. I know that this is where God has brought me to, because there's bread in the house." And why do you feel that way? Because this is where your purpose is going to be activated. See, it's important that we are in the house of the Lord that God put us in, because if we don't, you know what you'll do? You'll go search somebody else, and you'll search. But until we quit putting flowers on the grave and we get to that place where we're supposed to be, where there's bread in the house, our purpose is going to be activated. Maybe you've been facing an uphill battle in your life, even since you've been here, when you walked in and you knew this is where God wanted you to be. Just keep on climbing. Just keep on. Just keep on. Because all the things in your genealogy, all those things that have died. See, we've come from a long line of something, right? A long line of somewhere. Some of it's been good, some of it's been not so good. We all came, but here we are. See, all those circumstances of our life, they're not just coincidence. Because, see, we're more than all that bad stuff. We're more than just that negative reports that we've had. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of the righteous man and woman are ordered by the Lord. See, God knows when you're going through a situation, a valley, but he even lets us walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We've walked through some shadow of deaths, and we thought it was the grave. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So when we can't walk any farther, I've been in those places where he's picked me up. I believe that he really has carried me into those all the way to the other side. Why? Because God ordained us. God called you. He ordained you, and his hand is upon you. See, there's a mandate of God on each one of us in this house. And you say, oh, not me. Oh, yes, there is. There is a mandate on your life, and God wants you to stop, to pause today and get in agreement with his mandate for you, because he wants to turn your world upside down so he can turn other people's world upside down. As long as we are attending the grave of our past, as long as we're allowing our feelings, our emotions to dictate to us every day of our life, we are putting flowers on a grave that God says you're wasting time. I'm patient, but you're wasting time, because I want you to reach people that only you are destined to reach. See, God isn't going to let you sit on a shelf without nudging you toward your purpose. In fact, if he has to, he'll push you off of it. It happens. You wonder about those kids that are out there crazy? God's getting ready to push them off the shelf. God's getting ready some prodigals. They haven't been in the pig pen long enough yet. They haven't slid around in slime yet. But God's got purpose for them. God's got a call on them. He's got a timeline on their life. And there are some, I'm telling you prophetically, that there are changes happening. But if we don't brace them, we won't see them. Remember Esther had a timeline for such a time as this. Naomi, even though she'd been through a lot of distress, there was a timeline to her life. When Naomi tells Ruth, I'm going home, Ruth had been so impacted that she said, I'm going to go with you. And may I say again, you don't know who all's life you've impacted. You don't know that. Some to the bad, but you can change it. That's a good thing. You know, we don't have to make a tombstone out of our shame or a grave. We don't have to do that, because people are watching your life, and there's a lot that need your testimony. So Naomi, here she goes. She says, I left Bethlehem full, and I'm going home empty. But I believe that the reason I'm preaching is because Bethlehem, she says she left empty. But God says, Naomi, you left full and coming back empty. She had it backwards. And you say, okay, that makes no sense at all to me. Hang on. It will. Sometimes we have to get empty of ourselves. Sometimes we have to get empty of a lot of things, but let's go on. The reason God sent Naomi to Moab, was because there was a man named Boaz that needed a wife. Just think of all that you think, man, God knows how to move things around. He is working all the time. But there was a Boaz that needed a wife that was on the timeline. Naomi didn't know that, because God wanted Naomi to bring back Ruth to the house of bread. And then we want to stop. we want to stop and say, well, why did? Why did all, the boys and the husband have to die? I don't know. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't, but I still, when I read the Word of God and I let it open up to me, I see things I didn't see before. Naomi had a purpose. So there was a prophetic timetable that had to be fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. Naomi thought, I'm coming back empty. I left full. But see, God had a plan. There was a family redeemer waiting on her to get back with Ruth. See, God doesn't even, the redeemer didn't even know that God was working out a plan for his life. But here was Ruth. She definitely didn't know. She's just going to go with her mother-in-law because she loved her so much. She trusted her. She was a good woman, and she wanted to be with her. God needed Ruth in the house of bread because of the bloodline. The Gentiles were going to marry a Jewish man. Oh, don't you see how God does it? Don't you see how preparations for the Lord Jesus Christ is going on? They are going to become one. God is going to raise them up by the Spirit of the Lord. Interesting that God sent you someplace not just to attend a grave, not just to mourn over your losses, but you're there to retrieve something to take to the house of God. Oh, this is where it got me. This is where it really got me. God doesn't give us full understanding. But listen to this. I thought I would always have a home in Salem, Missouri. I lived there most of all my life. My dad pastored there. He was there two different times, pastored over 20 years. I bought a home there. I thought that's where I was going to raise my kids. It was a place that we came back, we'd come back and forth while we were on the road traveling in our bus. We'd come home a couple times a year and spend 2 or 3 weeks. And so I always thought I'd be attached to that. That would be part of my life. But when my marriage fell apart, I had a nervous breakdown. I had no insurance. My doctor said he could send me to the state hospital in Farmington. At that time, it was, you know, and I could go without pay. The truth is, God did want me in Farmington. God wanted me in Farmington. The doctor didn't know that he was just speaking something prophetically. I can send you to Farmington. Of course, I didn't let him. I refused. I decided to pull my big girl panties up and live. Because he said somebody else is going to raise your children. I was like, No, I am going to get past this. I cannot spend my life by a grave because of what's happened in my life. I can't keep feeding. I can't keep putting flowers that are just going to die on it. When God says, I've got more for you than where you're at. It may have looked like I was empty, but God saw me full. I was a mess. I might have looked empty, but God said, oh, no, darling, you look full. You look full for me. His plan was for not for me to tend the grave of a dead marriage because I was made for more. I didn't know that when I came here, it was to get my mantle. I didn't know that. Something like that. Mantle. It's where I begin to release the Word of God inside of me. Some may say, why would I ever want to live in Farmington? I don't know, but we're all still here. We're here for a reason. Why? Because here is the fullness of your calling, where your calling is going to be fulfilled. It doesn't mean that all of you are going to stay here all the time, but it means you're bringing something with you that the body of Christ needs here. God sent Naomi to a foreign country to get Ruth back to the house of bread. Naomi didn't even know it. We can wonder all we want to about, I don't understand what about her sons. I don't either. Naomi stands over their graves wondering, what hope do I have for the future? Sometimes in life we're stripped of things that we aren't supposed to be in alliance with. Not that it's bad. We just think we can't make it without it. God wants to add something to our lives today. when we lose something. God doesn't take away. He adds to. If Mahlon had not died, Ruth would not have left Moab. I can't explain it. But God sent Naomi. I know she went with her husband. But God knew all the things that were going to happen. He already knew. So he's like, oh, okay, this is how, we're talking about Christ here. We're talking about the lineage, the timeline of Jesus Christ. It's a long line. Ruth had to leave Moab. She had to leave. She couldn't let Naomi go without her. She had to leave because she needed a redeemer. The Gentiles needed a redeemer. There was a kinsman redeemer in the house of bread. Our redeemer, our bread of life. Do you know that he was born in Bethlehem? Isn't that amazing? I have read that so many times. And I know that it means house of bread. But it's like, it means more right now. When I think about the fact that God's timelines are so perfect that he moved, I don't know how to play chess, but he's got big boards. I don't know how he moves and he does this and he does that and he brings us to the next, where we need to be. When Naomi got close to Bethlehem, the town was stirred and excited to see her. Is that Naomi? Naomi replied, I'm no longer pleasant. I'm bitter. Call me Mara. Naomi just didn't realize that she completed a task that would change her world, and it was going to change our world. It was part of the plan. Because all she could think about was herself, her losses and the graves that she left behind. And what time, the things that had attacked her, the things that went in opposite direction of what she thought it should. All she could think about when she was answering those women. Be careful how you answer people. Be careful. But God's gracious. He'll give you a little grace for a little while. Naomi didn't see prophetically that next to her, when she brought that little young girl in, next to her was standing Ruth. God was honoring Naomi. He was honoring her and saying, I've got a better plan. God's saying to us at church, as a church and family, don't let what you've been through name you. That's why Dwayne and I said the other, we talked about because God gave us the name, and the world will always try to rename us. Don't let what you've been through name you, and don't let the devil change your identity. See, she was trying to let the enemy rename her. And what has the devil been telling you? What name has he been giving you? What sorrow, what heartache, what mistake, what mess up, what loss, what grave are you standing over? See, you were made for more. Worship team, would you come? God's word is what sustains us in our troubled times. Prayer will draw us into his presence as we heal from those things that have hurt so badly. See, worship, when you come to church and you begin to, I don't care how much you love that guy next to you or that girl next to you or whether you don't even like them. I'm sure there's nobody like that in this house. You're here to worship God, not put dead lilies on that grave. In the middle of our loss, things we just don't understand. But the Holy Spirit will begin to peel back the veil and begin to bring us understanding and grace to keep going. I've had to have his grace a lot of time to keep me going because I was still hurt. I was still processing. my heart was wounded. But your heart may be wounded today, but God says, I'm going to give you the grace to keep moving on. Because you were made for more than the hurt and the wounds that have come against you. You're way more called to do so much more than that which is taking your time. We need to refuse to let a grave, a loss, a reversal of the way things we thought they were going to be, or shame to name us. Let's don't shake our finger at God and why did you let this happen? I've been faithful. I believe God is saying to you, I have a prophetic purpose named Bruce standing next to you. There's someone that God says, I have a purpose for you in their life. I called you for such a time as this. Doesn't matter what the world says about the church. You know, the world, they lie. They're wrong. I'd be careful what you listen to. CNN, CBS, MSNBC, Facebook. New York Times, The View. The View. That's not God's view. It's not God's view. We need to be careful what we're listening to, because I'm telling you, if news can't bring good news, then don't listen to the news. Every time Max, he kind of negative sometimes, and we understand why he is, but you ask him something, and he'll come back with a negative, and I'll say, oh, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on Max. And then we laugh, and I'm like, you got to stop that stuff, young man. It matters what's coming out of your mouth. But see, it doesn't matter what they say, because see, I'm praying that God's going to come up on the set, that one day somebody's going to be at The View or one of these negative news places, and there's going to be a man or God, woman of God's going to be there. And not even have to say much, but all of a sudden, there's going to be some Damascus Road. Something's going on. Because, see, God loves them, and he wants them to repent. He wants them to get it right. So I'm praying. See, the greatest vengeance that God will ever give, and he tries his best to bring love. If they don't receive it, then God will remove them. But I'm praying that wouldn't it be awesome to see the move of God right in the middle of their negative reports. See, nothing is impossible with God. Because God says, I'll write the last chapter because I'm the beginning and I'm the end. The last days of my church shall be glorious. Naomi began to tell Ruth what to do in chapter 3. It seems that a coincidence that Ruth was just stumbled into Boaz's field. Now, isn't that something? Have you ever had someone, or have you stumbled into a field? I stumbled into Farmington, let me tell you. But I ended up in the field where I was supposed to be. God saw that. And he says, darling, you're so much more than this. You don't have to, I can fix breakdowns. Humpty Dumpty can be put back together again. I can do this for you. Trust me. I stumbled into it. Ruth. Seems like it. Could it be that some here today are in Boaz's field and don't even know it? Could it be? You're here, and God says, hang on. It may seem like you're eating leftovers. But instead of having a grateful heart, you're complaining. Boy, the attitude of Ruth was so good. She would go home, and she was so excited what she found. And she began to find favor. It may seem like you're eating leftovers, but if you have your foot in the Kinsman Redeemer's field, I've got my foot in the Redeemer's field. How about you? Uh-huh. He's my kinsman because I was born into the kingdom of God. He's my redeemer, and I got my foot in his word. I've got his foot, my foot, in my prayer time. I've got my foot in his field when I walk through my everyday life. See, the bloodline of Jesus gets in a foreign place because the purpose of God is at work. Boaz had never been married before. Boaz was a type of Christ. He was waiting for his Gentile bride. I'm telling you what, stand to your feet. You ought to get excited. You ought to get excited here. You and I have been grafted into the kingdom of God. Boaz saw Ruth in his fields. He began to give favor to us. See, God sees you. God sees you. He sees every one of us. Because see, as Boaz began to give favor to Ruth, because he saw her. He saw her. God sees you. If you're doing everything you know to do what is right, you can rest assured, even if you've made some mistakes. See, God is looking at the heart. That's why it's good for us to be like David. Oh, God, search my heart. Show me if there's any wicked things in me, any jealousy, any rebellion, any unforgiveness. Show me, oh God. Create in me a new heart. Create in me a right spirit. Because I don't want to miss what God's wanting to do in my life. Because see, God's bringing favor to his church. Favor, favor, favor. Pastor preached a few weeks ago on favor. God is bringing it into our homes. He wants to. Favor on our children. Favor's not coming on old wineskins. Oh, what's old wineskins? It's old way of thinking. This is just the way it is. Oh, really now? Really now? He's going to bring it on new wineskins. It's the ones that can hold the anointing of God in their lives and don't get mad and every time they turn around or upset and gossip about everybody. Wednesday night was tough around here from Brother John Bevere. It was good for us. Check our hearts and see. God's restoring his church. His presence is hovering over his church. I believe we will see miracles, unexplainable signs and wonders. I believe healings that doctors will not be able to explain. Maybe you've been in Moab, so you're just kind of used to death. This is just the way it is. I'm bitter. But God says, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Neither is the heart of man what I'm going to do. God's word will not return empty. It will return full. It's a new season. God's seen the seeds that were sown in your time of sorrow. He's seen you in his word. Things are changing. Naomi didn't realize, maybe you don't realize, that your whole life has been about bringing someone to the house of bread so they will know your kinsman redeemer. Chapter 2, Naomi, she begins to instruct Ruth and begin to tell her what to do. Go to the threshing floor. They're not planting anymore. You know, we planted, we plowed. We planted. It's been growing up. God says it's harvest time. It's a prophetic change. It's a shift. Ruth needed the counsel of the older person that had been through storms. And there's some Naomis today that you have someone that wants to and needs what you got. But Naomi, you're not too old. Don't think you're too old. Because they need what you got, Pat. They need what you got. They need Naomi in their life. And maybe you never have children, can never have a grandchild. But God can give you spiritual children and grandchildren who need someone to mother them, someone that can help them. That won't stop God, so don't name yourself. Beauty, splendor, and pleasantness, that's who Naomi was. Naomi began to tell Ruth what to do. So Ruth does it. She lays at the feet of Boaz. I'm hurrying up here. Who was a relative of dead man Elimelech. In verse, let's read Ruth 3, 9 through 13, just in case somebody thought we don't have any scriptures. Who are you? This is Boaz asking a question because he found Ruth at his feet. I am your servant Ruth, she replied. Spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer. The Lord bless you, my daughter, Boaz explained. You are showing even more family loyalty now than you did before, for you have not gone after a younger man, whether rich or poor. Now, don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary for everyone in the town knows you are a virtuous woman. They knew that Ruth, there was something about Ruth. Go ahead. While it's true that I'm one of your family redeemers, there's another man who is more closely related to you than I am. Stay here tonight, and in the morning I will talk to him. If he's not willing to redeem you, very well, let him marry you. But if he's not willing, then as surely as the Lord lives, I would redeem you myself. Now lie down here till in the morning. So Ruth goes home, and she tells Naomi what has happened. And so Naomi, in verse 18, says, tells Ruth, be patient until we hear what happened. I tell you today, be patient until you hear what the Spirit of God says. Be patient. Be patient because God's at work for you. He's at work for you in your marriage. Be patient. God's at work with your children. Be patient. In chapter 4, Boaz goes to the town gate. He meets with the family redeemer. He calls 10 leaders as witnesses and tells him that. He tells them the other redeemer, he says, Naomi's going to sell her land. And you can redeem it if you wish. If not, I will. So the man says, well, I'll buy the land. The Boaz, he wasn't done. Just like Christ is not done. He's not done. He said, your purchase of the land requires that you marry Ruth. There's some requirements that to serve Jesus. There are some requirements. That's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your body. And that means you cannot put the love that's supposed to be for him in yourself. The man says, no, I don't want to mess up my own estates. Boaz, you redeem it. You raise up the name of the dead. Oh, that's good. We're talking about the bloodlines of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Boaz purchased and redeemed Ruth. Christ purchased the church with his own blood and redeemed us. Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Then he made love to her and the Lord enabled her to conceive. She gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons has given you him birth. And then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The book ends with the blessing of the Lord on Naomi. Remember the one that said, I have no hope. If you said that about anything in your life, I have no hope. She thought her life was over. She thought that her purpose had passed. And that precious neighborhood woman said, at last, Naomi has a son again. They called him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David, King David. I hope that you understand that you were made for more. Go ahead, Dwayne.
I call you Jesus. I call you healer. Risen and
I want to know what comes out of the grave.
Oh, what comes out of the grave?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on now.
Name, chains, break. Is that your one?
Diamonds break.
Every time I call your name,
the gates of hell shake.
Every time I call your name,
chains break, troubles quick.
Every time I call your name,
the gates of hell shake.
Every time I call your name,
every time I call your name, every time. See, the enemy wants to change your name. But one name that will never be changed is the name of Jesus. So when I call on his name, if you're in this house today, or this message in any way spoke to your heart, some things that you know that you want to be farther than where you're at today. There's some things that just keep you in that negative, I have no hope, there's no way out of the situation. If that's you today, there is hope. There is hope. And God is speaking today. We're going to come back to this song. We're going to come back to it, but I want you to go back. Thank you guys for being patient with me. But let's go back and let's sing the chorus on I Was Made for More. And then we're going to, in a little bit, we're going to come back to this song.
Okay.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We were made for more. Go ahead, sing it.
'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name,
born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more.
you're here today and God has been dealing with your heart, I'm going to ask you just to be brave. You may know Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus in your heart and life, come forward. We want to pray with you. But if today you're struggling and you've been, there's no shame in that. There is, if we stay there, if we keep doing the same thing with the grave. But if you want to move forward today because you're like, I am not going to attend my grave anymore because I was made for more. As I sing it, I want you to come. Would you come?
Know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future.
Is that you? Come on, walk forward.
And it's worth the living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and
your word today, and I believe with all of my heart that you're prophetically speaking to us, that our purpose is so much bigger than all the answers that we have. And I pray, God, that this message will speak to your people when they leave here. It won't be just, oh, that was a good word, but no, God, I pray that every person will see that there's timelines in all of our lives, and God has a plan and a purpose. I pray blessings upon your people. God, that we will not let the enemy change our name. We will not be who he wants us to be. We will not let him name who we are. Because we're redeemed. We are the redeemed. And because we're the redeemed, the power of the living God is living inside of us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. We're going to switch back to the other song. And we're going to sing it one time. And as you leave, you're going to go out in victory. You're going to go out shouting because, see, God spoke to you, not the person next to you. God spoke to you. Now, whether you listened or not, I don't know. You could reject the word of God and you say things are not going to change, or you can say, thank you, Lord, that you're changing, that I'm changing, that I'm grabbing hold of your purpose and your plan, because I want to do everything I can that you've called me to do and not miss out on. Let's sing as we go.